Welcome to Mission Eyes with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Thank you for joining us today on Mission Eyes with the Mission Guys. I'm Clint Ritchie here with my co-host and team leader, Dr. Sam Roberts, and we are recording at Econ at New Life Baptist Church in Alexander, and we are privileged and honored to have Dr. Todd Connitz with us. He just finished preaching and hit a home run, and we get to delve into the topic of prayer a little more with him. He is the pastor at New Beginnings Baptist Church in Longview, Texas, where he's been since 2010. And while there, the church has experienced tremendous growth from 450 to over 2,700 people with more than 2,200 baptisms. So God has showed up and showed out, as we would say. He is the president of the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. But as he shared with us, he is an Arkansas native. And so we were very glad to hear that. And Todd's passion is to see people and churches pursue God's presence in prayer. So Todd, welcome to Mission Eyes. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, this is not your first time in Arkansas recently to talk about prayer.
That's right.
And when you were here before, there were some things that stood out to us. So, Dr. Sam, why don't you take those?
Yeah, Todd, first of all, thank you for the message, powerful message you just gave. I'm going to encourage our leaders. I know that those messages will be online at absc.org. You can just search there for Econ 2024. And I encourage each of you, go back and listen to that. I'm still trying to process a lot of what you had to say and how God was speaking through you. I could tell there's connection with our pastors who were there. And thank you so much for that powerful word. Now, as Clint said, you were here with us before at our state prayer gathering. And there were a couple of things that you said during that time. I don't even know. We know as we get to preaching that sometimes people say, oh, man, what you said just then, this quote, this was awesome. And we're like, okay, I'm going to take your word for it.
Yep.
That's what you said. But I've had a lot of conversations with some of the Arkansas Baptist pastors since then, especially right after that prayer conference. And there were a couple of things that really resonated with a lot of the guys. Here's one of those. You said we have programmed out of our churches the very thing Jesus said we needed. Mm-hmm. Now, we know, and Clint and I work with churches to help them develop mission strategies mm-hmm. for how are we going to engage our community with the gospel? How do we take that outside of our gospel, outside of our community into the state and even internationally among
That's
people
right.
of the world? And one of those key components, of course, is prayer in developing that strategy. But here's what I want to ask you to comment on and spend some time on this, okay? What role does prayer play, not in the development of the mission strategy, but in the mission strategy itself?
That's right, yeah.
Take off with that.
Yeah, that's good. I think one of the things that we have, I think there's a lot of good innovations that's happened in the church world in the last 20, 25 years with developing good strategies. And I think one of the things that is lacking is where does prayer fit in to the actual strategy itself? And mm-hmm. what we've discovered at our church is that a church that's not actively praying for the lost and praying for their missions as a part of the strategy, you might have some fuel if someone captures, you know, a heart for it for a season, but it won't be sustainable unless there's ongoing prayer. And so when Jesus, think about this, one of the places I love is when Jesus was going to send out the 72, and he's going to send out two by two. So Jesus developed a strategy.
Right.
Because there was lostness around mm-hmm. him. He says this. Mm-hmm. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The very next phrase was, pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field. So what I love about that is you see where prayer and strategy come together. Jesus had a game plan. I'm going to pair up people. We're going to send them out, and they're going to proclaim the gospel. But before they left, Jesus says, but we got to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would be the one that sends. And so as we think about that in regards to our missions, if we're not asking constantly for the Lord of the harvest to be what fuels the work, to be what sends the workers, then we might have strategies and plans, and they actually might be really good, but it's going to lack the power that's needed, because at the end of the day, the harvest is not ours. It belongs to the Lord. Without prayer, we can't partner with him in the work that he's doing like he desires.
Now when you came to the church back in 2010, and I think that this was something I got out of the message you just delivered, that may not have been as prevalent in the church at that time.
Yeah.
What changes, how does this look for the church where you pastor now since 2010? What changes have taken place? And knowing that, you know, we're not saying to those who are listening, hey, follow this step by step.
That's right.
You know, because each church is going to be different. Culture is the same.
That's right.
It's lost.
That's
but right. Each church is going to approach this a little differently. But how does that look like? What does it look like for
yeah.
you guys?
So I think for us, the first years, few years, I would say the first 6-7 years that I was at New Beginnings, I would say that prayer was important, but it wasn't the center. And so there was a genuine heart to see God move, a genuine heart. So the Lord honored that. Even though I would not say we were a church of prayer and I wasn't a pastor of prayer, prayer was still an activity that we did. And I think the Lord blessed it. As we started being successful, quote unquote, in the church measurement world, we started relying more on our strategies, our programming, our gifting, our creativity than we did actually leaning on the Lord. So whenever I hit that moment in my life where I realize something's missing and I don't know if I want to do this anymore, because if what I read in the Bible is true, why am I not experiencing it? Why aren't our church experiencing it? That's when we shifted and began to pray, and now it's engrafted. So like a couple of just practical ways that we do this is that we pray regularly at prayer meeting for missions. We pray for the lost. When part of our game planning, when we're preparing a mission team to be sent out, now a part of our regular rhythm is that we expect them to be fasting and praying as a rhythm. We bring them to prayer meeting. We lay hands and pray over the missions teams. And then we create a culture that while they're on the mission field, whether it's foreign missions or something in the state, that prayer is going to be a part of the regular rhythm. Morning prayer while they're on the field.
Awesome.
Training our people to pray. Mm-hmm. Because now what we're saying is that prayer is not something we do to ask God to bless our work. Prayer is how we join the work that God is doing.
Exactly.
Because we're not asking God to move. We're asking for God to allow us to move with him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Clifton this morning in the revitalization workshop stressed that importance to say, hey, guys, prayer is the work.
That's prayer is the work.
It is the work. This is the ministry. That's one of those points you brought out in the message as well, that the ministry we have as pastors is that ministry of the word and of the prayer.
That's right.
And so thank you for that.
Yep.
Man, that's awesome. I do encourage, again, listeners, go back, listen to that message. And thank you for that. Clint?
Yeah, let's chase a tangent real quick. You mentioned in your message your prayer meeting. You referenced you guys praying for lost people, praying for missions specifically. You even said, you know, hour and a half, 2-hour prayer meetings on Wednesday night. You scratched all other adult programming. Can you give us a picture of what that looks like? I mean, is some of that program where you have specific things you're praying for, or is a lot of that just as the Lord leads? What does that evening look like?
Yeah, so one of the things that I encourage pastors, and this was some coaching I received from a dear brother, Nathan Lena, who's actually here at the Econ mm-hmm. event, I'll be preaching tomorrow, is that if I'm going to lead an effective prayer meeting, then I've got to be prepared before I lead. And so my Wednesdays are spent, for the most part, nothing on my calendar. I spend the day alone with the Lord, fast, pray, confess sin. Everything that we're going to do in prayer meeting, I'm actually working through personally. And then as God leads me, I'm developing what we're going to do that night. So there's basically 5 key components that we have in our prayer meeting. Exaltation. So we start out by celebrating and praising the name of Jesus. we have a time of consecration where we confess our sins and we want to make sure there's anything grieving the Holy Spirit that would limit His work. We want to make sure that we address that, confess that, and repent of it. And then we have a time or a season where we walk through what we call submission. That's where we actually pray God's agenda. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's where we actually pray a lot for the lost to be saved, for God's name to be known in the nations, for God's glory through the gospel being advanced. And so we spend in that season really praying for God to move and advance the gospel through us so that Jesus might be known. And at times in that, we will actually, if there's a mission trip, we'll actually put the names of all of our, we call them missionaries. If they're going to go on a mission trip, they're called missionaries. Here's all our missionaries that are going on our next mission trip. We're going to ask you to pray by name for them, and we'll lift them up. And we find creative ways of doing that. If we're going to pray for the lost, there are times where we'll break up in groups and we'll say, hey, in your group, if you have a person in your life that you're burdened for to come to know Jesus, you're going to pray two things with your group. Number one, pray that God would move and the Holy Spirit would save them. Number two, that He would use you in the process. And so those are some creative ways that we do that in that moment. And then from that, we pray for what we call, we go into a season of intercession where we're praying for others. And a lot of times in that, we'll come back to that. Well, there are times where there was a year and a half ago, we had people submit names live through a phone app that we found where they could give the first name of someone. And as they're praying for them, it's actually going on the screen. Mm-hmm. And so that whole entire time of intercession, we're praying for those people by name to be saved. And what's so cool is when you get to cross them off the list.
Yeah.
Because God did it. And then we end it with a time of petition. That's where we can bring our request to the Lord, whatever needs that we have. So that's a general flow. And so within that submission portion, we're praying what's on God's agenda, or that intercession, that's where we really focus on. For instance, we had this weekend, United Weekend, which is our Disciple Now for our students. Well, the 2 weeks at prayer meeting leading up to it, we had creative ways that we prayed for, our students. Specifically, every student that registered by name for whatever God wanted to do in their life, and we got our corporate body involved with that. So we try to keep those things in front of them. And that's, again, going back to your question, how do we strategize prayer into our missions effort? By finding creative ways to implement prayer as a key component to all the activity that we're about to do.
Yeah, and I want to make sure I stress one thing that you said to the listeners, and you may want to go back and play this back, listen to it again. The importance of the pastor, whoever's leading that prayer time with the church, of spending the time in prayer yourself prior to, and not just taking a piece of paper and saying, okay, we've got to do this and this and this and this, and here's the four things, and if something happens, great.
Yeah.
But we actually give ourselves to this work of prayer, this ministry of prayer. Thank you for that emphasis, and I encourage our guys, you've got to take the time. You've got to be in the presence of the Lord. You have got to seek Him, even in the direction of how this prayer service is going to go.
And here's the way I would elaborate on that. Is think that the two ideas is, if I'm leading the prayer meeting and I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to be able to lead the people into the presence of God. That's my job as the leader of a prayer meeting, is to lead them into the presence of God. So if I'm not already spending, I already got to be where I want our people to go. Mm-hmm. And so the second part of that is that as we spend the day preparing for prayer meeting, something Jim Cimbala said in a conversation a group of pastors were having, he made the statement. He says, Jesus knows your church. Think about the letters to the churches at Revelation. Every church got a customized letter that was personally for them and what they were, because Jesus knows the local church, right?
Right.
So the question that Pastor Jim said was, if Jesus was going to lead a prayer meeting at your church, what would Jesus lead the church to pray about? If Jesus was going to preach a message to your church for what they need, what do you think Jesus would preach on? So the goal of a pastor's preparation, whether it's sermon writing or whether it's in preparing for a prayer meeting, the question we need to be asking is not, what do I want our church to pray about? Mm. But as I'm seeking the Lord, what does Jesus want us to pray about?
Amen.
What does He want to do in that night? And really, that's the labor of preparation. It is getting out of the way so that Jesus's agenda can be the agenda.
Awesome. Hey, there's another statement from our prayer gathering. Let me read this to you. When we build a house of prayer, God shows up. When God shows up, He empowers. When God shows up, He sends. So the question is this: how has the church's pursuit of the presence of God in prayer affected the sending of the church into the community and among the nations? And what changes, you've spoken some to this, but what changes have you seen in missional engagement since leading the church in this emphasis in of seeking the presence of God?
Mm-hmm. So I think the first thing is that our people are starting to get a heart for the lost. You can't have a heart for missions and evangelism unless you're praying for the lost.
Exactly.
And so what we've seen is the more we call our people to pray for people that they're burdened for, the greater their burden grows, the more they're going to want to step into that space and share. So, as we're praying for missions, as we're praying for evangelism, the heart for the nations is increasing. We're sending more people on mission than we ever have, and we're not even advertising as good as we used to do. But God's shaping the heart of our people. But I'll give you just from a practical standpoint one thing that's happening. So when I was in the Maasai Mara this summer in Kenya, there was one particular region. We called it the Church Under the Tree because it was literally a church that met under a tree. So I got to go out there and lead the men in a group. My daughter and my son were with me. They got to go lead the student ministry. So it's literally in the middle of nowhere, and it's a very primitive area. You know, people are still wearing the Maasai, you know, clothing. And so we're gathered there. Well, we start hearing the gospel resistance that's in the area. Now, fast forward a couple of days later, part of our team was back at the Church Under the Tree, actually on a Sunday, leading the worship service. One of our deacons, who had been part of our prayer meeting, God's been working in his life, and a lot of the people on the mission trip have been a part of the prayer movement that we've been a part of. So they're there. They end the service, and a lady comes to one of our leaders and said, "I need you to pray for my husband." So they thought, well, he was sick. We said, "Well, what was the problem?" And our leader said, "What was the problem?" And she said, "He doesn't know Jesus, and I'm burdened for him." So our team gathered around. And now, this wouldn't have happened 3 years ago. But because prayer now is becoming the first response, he lays his hand on his shoulder. He begins to pray. All of our team stops what they're doing. Before we know it, there's a full-blown prayer meeting. They're on their knees, weeping, crying out to God for the salvation of this man who has stood in not just denial of the gospel, but in absolute rejection of Jesus, into witchcraft, all kinds of stuff. So they're praying. The Holy Spirit, during that prayer, says to our leader, and he's a deacon in our church, "If you'll go, I'll save him." So he finishes the prayer, and he tells the lady, through a translator, "Can you go get your husband?" So she calls him, and he says, "No, if he wants to see me, he can come to me." And so Tim says, "Great, let's go." And then he started realizing, wait a second, this guy, we're in the middle of nowhere. This guy's anti-Jesus. So he calls one of our pastors and says, "I got this burden. I feel like Jesus is saying if I go, he'll save him." We had a big prayer meeting, and I just sense the Holy Spirit wants to do this. So one of our pastors says, "Okay, he was on the trip with us. Let's go." On the way there, we learn it's the wealthiest guy in the Maasai Mara. He represents the people with the government, and he has been resisting the gospel for 25 years. And Jonathan Narasha, our group leader, was his best friend in high school and has tried for 20 years to lead him to Christ, or in school, and tried 20 years to lead him to Christ, and he's been resistant. And so they pray on the way there. When they get there, this guy's so wealthy, they go through two gates. He has armed guardsmen, and when they show up, they know immediately they're not welcomed there. They know they don't want us here. But Tim knows, "I heard from the Lord when we were praying." So, and Tim's also law enforcement, so he's got a little more pep in his step. So so our pastor, when as he walks in, he sees the look on the people's face, and one of the man who owned the place looked at them with anger in his eyes. Matt said, one of our pastors, it was evil. And he said something to the guards, and the guards laughed. We later found out that what he said to them was, "These Americans better be glad that Jonathan was with them, or this day would end for them."
Wow.
So they go in, and they said they felt the presence of evil immediately, to the point of which they got on their knees and prayed out loud. So that's, again, the first response was prayer before they even had the conversation. Full of the Holy Spirit, Tim looked at the man in this place and said, "You're a prideful man. You put your trust in your wealth. I was a prideful man who did the very same thing, and God broke me by taking my son." And he said, "And through the death of my son, I found Jesus, and God sent me 30-mile trip on an airplane to look you in the eye and tell you, you need to repent of your sins and turn to Jesus." Here's what this man said. "Are you telling me that God sent you across the globe to tell me who I am?" And Tim said, "That's exactly." And he said, "In the Masai Mara, we have a custom. A man cannot truly know himself unless another man reveals him to himself." And he said, "You're telling me that God sent you so that I could see me?" And he says, "This I cannot deny. I want your Jesus." So before the man receives Jesus, Jonathan, who's known this guy his whole life, interrupts. They're about to lead this guy to Christ. Interrupts him and he says, "You have been a prideful man your entire life. If you truly want to follow Jesus as Lord, you will get on your knees and you will bow to him and pray to him." The man hits his knees, begins to weep, cries out to Jesus. They look over and the armed guard that had kind of had threats toward them, he is weeping. He hit his knees, gives his life to Christ. Last week, Tim came to me and said, "You'll never guess what happened today." And he showed me a picture. The man that resisted last Sunday is paying for a building. It'll no longer be the church under the tree. It'll be a church building because that man's going to pay for it. So my point is this.
Yeah.
How is prayer transforming? Mm. It's our people are understanding that there is a greater power. They still go and share. They still go and proclaim, but they do so under the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that if they press in, that God empowers them, and if Jesus sends them, he's going to go with them.
Exactly. That's so what he promised in the Great
probably
Commission,
a long answer for that question, but the story really summarizes what we're seeing happen.
Yeah, awesome. That's great stuff.
I guess just as we wrap up, I would imagine we hadn't flat out said, we hadn't asked, I guess, but I would imagine if you go back to this journey and where the church is now, it began with what God did in your life as the pastor. What would you tell a guy that is struggling to get some traction, experiencing the power of prayer this way in his church? He's burdened, it's in his life, but he's having difficulty maybe getting the traction in the church. What encouragement could you give him today?
Yeah, I would say if you are in a season where you are tired and you are burnt out and you recognize that there has to be more than what you've experienced in ministry, then you're in a great place. 6 months I went through depression and darkness. The Lord was silent in my life. And in hindsight, he really wasn't silent. His silence was actually speaking to me. It was hard. It was painful. But I would go back through that all over again to get to the place that I am today. Because what the Lord will do is bring us to a place where we come to the end of ourselves. Because at the end of ourselves, we find the beginning of him. Yeah. And so if you're in that place of dryness, and what I would say is hit your knees, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what is missing in your life in regards to your submission. Ask him what sin needs to be dealt with. Confess self-reliance. For our church, I was the roadblock to revival. I was the blood clot that was keeping the power of God from our church. And God had to deal with me before he could deal with my church. And so I would tell that pastor, let God have his way. Relinquish control and commit that above everything else, I am going to depend upon God in prayer, pursue the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then whatever God wants to do outside of that, I'm going to be content with. But it starts with the brokenness.
Awesome. Hey, Todd, as we wrap this up, I know that some of the guys in our state and others who are listening will want to continue following what's happening there at New Beginnings and continue to gain some wisdom and from you. How can they make connection on social media, other ways?
Yeah. So if they want to follow me on Instagram, that's really the platform that I use most frequently to put things out. And it's just at Todd Connitz. That's my Instagram handle. And then our website is nbbctx.org. And if they'll go to that website, they can find a media link, and we have a YouTube channel. You can even go to YouTube and look up New Beginnings Baptist Church, and that's where all of our content is for messages and any resources we put together on prayer. One of the things that I am right now working on with Arkansas is potentially this summer. We host Nathan Leno and I, who's speaking mm-hmm. at this event as well. We host what we call Pastor's Prayer Retreat. And this retreat is designed for pastors who are what you were just talking about, Clint, that there's a brokenness and a desire to see God move, and they need a fresh movement in themselves and their church. It's really designed for pastors like that who want to see a prayer culture in their own life and in the life of their church. And so we spend basically about 2.5 days with pastors, pouring into them, resourcing them, equipping them, and they're going to get an opportunity to experience a prayer meeting so they can have a context of what that might look like at their local church. But it is 2.5 days of refreshment, encouragement, and equipping pastors to becoming praying men and leading praying churches. And so one of the things we're working with right now, I'm talking with Craig about here from Arkansas, is this summer actually hosting one just for Arkansas pastors. And so if we can make that work, Craig will get that information out mm-hmm. and be able to have pastors. We already have about 25 pastors right now from today who have shown interest. If we put a retreat together, they would come. And so we're hoping we can have that announced in the next couple of weeks.
Awesome. Hey, thank you for that. We appreciate you being with us today.
Absolutely. I had a leadership team meeting without me last night, and I said I can't be with y'all. I hate it, but I'm going to the promised land. This is I feel like I've been in foreign missions and I'm coming home. So yeah. I love being back in my home state.
Well, welcome back home and keep calling the hogs, okay?
Pig suey.
All right.
All right, thanks for joining us. We'll look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas missions, visit absc.org/missions.